Pokemon NBA recap. Today is Saturday, April 23rd, and we had three games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Atlanta, the 1-8 matchup in the Eastern Conference, and the Hawks won their first game of the series. They defeated the Heat 111-110, and so that series is now 2-1. In Chicago, the Bulls were soundly defeated by the Milwaukee Bucks 111-81. So Milwaukee leads that series now 2-1 as well. And finally, in New Orleans, the Suns edged past the Pelicans 114-111. So Phoenix also has a 2-1 lead in that series. So we'll break down all three of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Atlanta, where the Hawks just edged past the Miami Heat 111-110. Trae Young was the hero in the end. He had a floater with 4 seconds left that gave the Hawks the one-point lead and helped them secure the victory. And so I believe this is the only series left where no home team has lost. It is now 2-1 with one more game to go in Atlanta. That'll be game 4. And so we shall see how this one unfolds. But like I was saying yesterday, I would not be surprised if the Hawks won both of these games in Atlanta. They just have been a very competent team facing off against this slightly shaky Miami Heat number 1 seed. And so I don't know what's going to happen after that, but I could definitely see them going back to Miami for game 5 tied 2-2. This has been a really exciting series, and last night's game was no exception. And this playoffs overall has just been really fun. We've had a lot of exciting games, close finishes. It's just been a really good playoffs thus far. A lot of parity in the league right now. So anyways, let's get back to this game. So the Hawks were led by Trae Young. He had 24 points. He wasn't super efficient. He was 6 of 14 from the field, but he was 10 of 12 from the free throw line. He was doing a lot of his damage at the charity stripe. And then they also got 17 points from DeAndre Hunter and 18 points off the bench from Bogdan Bogdanovic. Whereas the Heat were led by Tyler Hero, also off the bench. He had 24 points, and then they also got double-doubles from their two all-stars in the starting lineup, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Butler had 20 and 10, and Adebayo had 13 and 11, and then they also got 20 points from Max Strus. But the big story for the Heat in this game, other than the loss, was that Kyle Lowry went out of this game after just 23 minutes. He appeared to suffer an injury to his hamstring, and he did not return to the game, so his status right now for Game 4 is up in the air, and that would be a huge blow to the Heat if he was unavailable for an extended period of time. And just unfortunate, because we've had a rash of injuries now, with Lowry going out, and then of course Devin Booker going out, Chris Middleton going out, Luka Doncic being out, and there's a few others as well. So hopefully this doesn't linger and affect this series too significantly, but we shall see. Anyways, this was a pretty exciting game throughout. It was kind of back and forth. Early on in the first quarter, the Heat had a lead. They had built up an 8-point advantage with 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. After a Bam Adebayo alley-oop, it was 22-14. But then the Hawks quickly closed that gap, and it was just a 2-point game at the end of the first quarter. Then it was back and forth in the second, but then it was the Hawks who took a lead at the end of the second quarter. It was a 3-pointer from Bogdan Bogdanovic with 4:22 left on the clock that extended the Hawks' lead to 11. It was 49-38. So just like that, the Hawks were in control of this game, and at halftime, they were still in control. It was a 5-point advantage. But then coming out of halftime, the Heat quickly closed the gap themselves, and then it was back and forth for a few minutes. But then this was really a game of runs, because about halfway through the third quarter, the Heat started to dominate, the Hawks' offense stagnated, and just like that, with about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, it was the Heat who were back up again, and this time they had a pretty significant lead. They were up by 16 points after a free throw from Bam Adebayo made it 84-68. So the Heat, coming storming back in that third quarter, overall they outscored the Hawks in the third, 31-16. So just like that, the Heat looked like they might cruise to victory in the fourth quarter, but then the Hawks started to chip away at that lead at the end of the third, and then the beginning of the fourth is when they really started to make an impact. And overall, in the fourth quarter, they outscored the Heat 34-25. So really a game of runs here. The Heat were dominant in the first quarter, in the third quarter, the Hawks were better in the second and the fourth, and ultimately that made all the difference, because they were able to eventually tie the game up, then take a slight lead, but then it was just back and forth down the stretch. There was big shots by both teams, big free throws as well. So we'll start at about 2.5 minutes left in the game. It was tied. It was 101 all. The Heat have the ball, and Max Strus knocks down a clutch 3-pointer with 2:46 left on the clock at this point. And that one puts the Heat up by three. It was 104 to 101. But then right after that, 20 seconds later, Trae Young comes back and responds with a three-pointer himself. He ties the game back up, 104 all, with 2:26 left on the clock. Then after a turnover from Tyler Hero, Onyeka Okongwu, the backup big man for the Hawks, he had a pivotal play off of a Bogdan Bogdanović missed three-pointer. He got an offensive rebound, put back, and one, made the free throw. So just like that, the Hawks themselves took a three-point lead, 107 to 104. So really good stuff for Okongwu. But then the Heat come right back and tie it again with another three-pointer. This time it was Jimmy Butler with 1:30 left on the clock. So again, we're tied. It's 107 all. This game was just back and forth and back and forth. Next up, we had the Hawks with the ball with 1:22 on the clock. And this is where those free throws came into play. Trae Young goes to the line and he knocks down both free throws ice cold. And so that gives the Hawks a two-point lead, 109 to 107. And then the offense kind of stagnated from there on out. There was only two buckets made throughout the rest of this game. So first, it was PJ Tucker. He hit an absolute clutch dagger three-pointer off of a Jimmy Butler assist with 54 seconds to go. And that one gave the Heat the lead. It was 110 to 109 at that point. And so the Hawks take a timeout. Trae Young comes back into the game. And ultimately, they run a play for Kevin Huerter to get a look at a three-pointer. And he misses it with 39 seconds left. So the Heat get the ball back up one. So they're in a really good position at this point. They run the shot clock all the way down. And Jimmy Butler ultimately takes a 22-foot pull-up jump shot. So not the best look, really, and he missed it. And so then the Hawks get one more opportunity, and they don't take a timeout. Another exciting finish here. I love it when the coaches don't take a timeout. They just let it run. So Bogdan Bogdanović grabs a defensive rebound. There's 10 seconds left on the clock. He gets it to Trae Young. He takes it the entire length of the court. He drives right in. There was very little resistance. Puts up a 9-foot floating jump shot, one of his patented floaters, and he nails it with seconds left on the clock, giving the Hawks a one-point lead. Really clutch bucket from Trae Young, especially because there was no timeout, and he just took it the entire length of the court and got it to go. So the Hawks take the one-point lead, the Heat take a full timeout, and then Jimmy Butler ultimately has one more look at a three-pointer, but he misses it, and the Hawks are able to steal this game in Atlanta. So just like that, the Hawks now in this series again, 2-1, and we have the pivotal Game 4 coming up on Sunday. And overall, in this game, the Hawks were, I would say, better than the Heat. They shot the ball more efficiently. They had less turnovers. The only area in which the Heat really dominated was the rebounding. They had the edge on the boards, 45 to 36, but otherwise, they had 15 turnovers versus just 11 for Atlanta. They shot just 31% from beyond the arc versus 37% shooting for the Hawks. And then they were also less efficient from the field overall. So Clint Capella's absence is definitely being felt by the Hawks on the boards. But in all those other categories, I don't know how much he would have been helping. So frankly, if I was Nate McMillan, I'd be happy to keep rolling with this super small lineup of Gallinari, Collins, and Hunter as the front court in the starting lineup. Now, with that being said, those three, they were all significantly negative in the plus-minus, whereas Trae Young, he was the only member of the starting lineup for the Hawks to be positive. It was the bench, the three guys off the bench for the Hawks, who were significantly positive in the plus-minus. So when Onyeka Okongwu, Bogdan Bogdanović, and DeLon Wright, the backup point guard, came into the game, good things happened for the Hawks, and it was those three, along with Trae Young and Kevin Huerter, who were really carrying the Hawks to victory in this game. Every time they would go on a big run, it was those five that were on the court. So really good to see the bench getting it done for the Hawks in this game. And as you might expect, conversely for the Heat, it was their bench who let them down in this one. Tyler Hero, despite being the Heat's leading scorer in this game, and despite probably being in line to win Sixth Man of the Year at some point in the near future, he was the team low in plus minus by far. He was negative 21 in his 34 minutes. So we can just transition now to the box score, and Hero was the leading scorer. He had 24 points on 10 of 22 shooting. He was 4 of 11 from 3, although he didn't get to the free throw line at all. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, 3 turnovers, and like I said, he was the team low in plus minus. As for the starters, they got 20 points from Max Strus and Jimmy Butler. So Butler had a double-double, 20 points and 10 rebounds. He also had 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And he was 8 of 20 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3. So not the best shooting for Butler, but he was definitely contributing throughout the box score. He had 0 fouls as well. And then they also got 20 from Max Strus. In 29 minutes, he was 7 of 13 from the field, 5 of 10 from beyond the arc. So he was on fire in this game. And then they also got a double-double from Bam Adebayo, 13 points and 11 rebounds. Offensively, he has not really done a whole lot in this series. He has scored like less than, I think this is his highest scoring game of the series so far, 13 points. So he has not exactly been stuffing the stat sheet in that regard. But in this game, he did have 11 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. So that's good to see. And then they also got 11 points from P.J. Tucker. He was 4 of 6 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists. And Kyle Lowry rounding out the starting lineup. As I mentioned, he only played 23 minutes before going out of this game with that hamstring injury. He had 6 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists in that time. And he ended up as the team high in plus-minus at plus 18. Off the bench for the Heat, besides Tyler Hero, they also got 7 points from the backup big man, Dwayne Dedmon. He was 3 of 6 from the field in 13 minutes. And then they got 6 points from Duncan Robinson, although he was just 1 of 4 from beyond the arc. And Gabe Vincent, he was even worse. He was 0 of 5 from beyond the arc, 1 of 6 from the field overall. He had 3 points and 3 turnovers, and he was negative 15 in the plus-minus. And then Caleb Martin saw the court briefly, but he did not score. And as for the Hawks, they were, of course, led by Trae Young. He had 24 points, but he was just 6 of 14 from the field, 2 of 6 from beyond the arc. He did most of his damage from the free throw line, though. Like I said, he was 10 of 12 from the line. And then he also had 4 rebounds, 8 assists, and 1 steal. He did have 3 turnovers, but he was plus 5 in the plus minus. And like I said, that was the only positive plus minus in the starting lineup for the Hawks. Then they also got 17 points from DeAndre Hunter in 32 minutes. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, and that was it in the box score. No rebounds, assists, steals, or blocks for Hunter. He did have 4 turnovers and 4 fouls, though. And then they got 13 points from Kevin Huerter. He was 5 of 13 from the field, just 1 of 8 from beyond the arc. He had 5 rebounds and 4 assists. 11 points for Danilo Gallinari in 25 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, but he was the team low in plus-minus, negative 23. And then John Collins rounding out the starting lineup. He only played 24 minutes. He had 6 points, 5 rebounds in that time. But off the bench for the Hawks, the 3 guys that saw the court were all fantastic. So first, you have the team high in plus-minus, the backup point guard, DeLon Wright. He was perfect from the field, 6 of 6 for 13 points. He had 1 three-pointer, 5 rebounds, and 1 assist. He had 0 turnovers and 0 fouls in 30 minutes. Incredible stuff for Wright. And then they also got a perfect performance from Onyeka Okongwu. He had 9 points on 4 of 4 shooting, and he had 6 rebounds, 1 steal, and 2 blocks in that time. And he was plus 19 in the plus-minus. And then Bogdanovich was the leading scorer off the bench. He had 18 points in 32 minutes, 7 of 17 from the field, 4 of 9 from beyond the arc, and he had 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So really fantastic production from the 3 guys off the court for the Hawks, Okongwu, Bogdanovich, and Wright. All right, and next up, we can move on to Chicago, where the Bulls were absolutely demolished by the Milwaukee Bucks, 111-81. The Bucks were led by Grayson Allen off the bench. He had 22 points in 25 minutes. And then they also got 18 from Bobby Portis and Giannis Antetokounmpo in the starting lineup, and 16 points from Jrue Holiday. This game was such a blowout for the Bucks that nobody in the starting lineup played more than 30 minutes. Whereas the Bulls were led by Nikola Vucevic, he had 19 points, and they got 15 from Zach LaVine, but this was a rough game for the Bulls, to say the least. They just got 11 points from DeMar DeRozan. Patrick Williams in the starting lineup was 0 of 9 from the field for just 1 point. And as you might expect from the scoreline, the Bulls as a team did not shoot the ball very well at all. They were 39% from the field, 26% from 3. Whereas the Bucks, they were really solid, 47% from the field, 36% from beyond the arc. And then they only had 10 turnovers versus 13 for the Bulls. And then they crushed the Bulls on the boards as well, 55-43. So in basically every way, the Bucks were controlling this game and the Bulls were pretty abysmal. They got out to a terrible start. They were outscored by Milwaukee 33-17 in the first quarter. And then they slightly expanded upon that lead in the second quarter. It was a 19-point advantage for the Bucks at halftime. It was 60-41. And then the third quarter is where they really put the nail in the coffin. They once again dominated the Bulls in the third, outscoring them 30-18. So by the fourth quarter, it was a complete blowout. It was 90-59, a 31-point advantage for Milwaukee in the fourth quarter. And obviously, they just cruised to victory in that period. It was complete garbage time throughout the fourth. And so a good rest here for the Bucks, and frankly for the Bulls too, because none of them played much more than 30 minutes either. So it would appear that the Bucks did not miss Chris Middleton too much at all in this game. I don't know if that's going to be the case going forwards, but they were completely dominant in this game without their second leading scorer, or maybe he was their third leading scorer this season after Jrue Holiday, I'm not sure. But regardless, they were dominant in this game. And this series is now back to equilibrium in terms of the home court advantage, with the Bucks up 2-1, and we have Game 4 coming up on Sunday in Chicago. So we shall see if the Bulls, can rally from this loss like they did in Game 2 and perhaps give the Bucks a fight. I would imagine that game will be a bit closer. I don't know if the Bulls are going to be able to win it in the end, but I think they will at least keep it much closer. So we shall see on Sunday. But anyways, we can move on now to the box score, and the Bucks were led by Grayson Allen off the bench. With all the garbage time in this game, Allen, in 25 minutes, was their leading scorer. He had 22 points on 8 of 12 shooting. He was 5 of 7 from 3, and he had 6 rebounds, 1 steal, and 1 block. He was plus 15 in the plus minus. Really good stuff for Allen. As for the starting lineup, they were led by Giannis and Bobby Portis, both of whom had 18 points. Giannis was the team high in terms of the plus-minus by far. He was plus 36 in his 29 minutes, and he was 7 of 12 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 9 assists, and 1 block. And then 18 points as well for Bobby Portis. He had a big double-double, 16 rebounds. He was 7 of 14 from the field, 4 of 8 from beyond the arc, and he was plus 20 in the plus-minus. So getting that start in place of Chris Middleton and doing well in the process. And then they also got 16 points from Jrue Holiday. In just 30 minutes, he was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, and 1 three-pointer. And then they also got 9 points from Brook Lopez in 25 minutes. He had 2 blocks, 2 rebounds, and 3 points for Wesley Matthews, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 1 of 3 from the field in 25 minutes. And off the bench for the Bucks, besides Grayson Allen, they got plenty of contributions throughout the bench. Basically, everybody that was available saw the court eventually. So from the top, you had Thanasis Antetokounmpo. He had 4 points in 9 minutes, including an incredible dunk that got his brother Giannis fired up off the bench. And then they also got 2 points from Jordan Nwora, also in 9 minutes, although he was just 1 of 6 from the field. 5 points from the backup big man, the veteran Serge Ibaka. He had 6 rebounds in that time. The backup point guard Javon Carter actually saw the court for 18 minutes, but he did not attempt a field goal or free throw in that time. He had 4 assists, though. And then 11 points for Pat Connaughton in 21 minutes. He had 2 three-pointers. And then finally, Rajon Tucker saw the court for 8 minutes, but he did not score. And Luka Vildoza saw the court for 8 minutes, and he had 3 points in that time. All right. And as for the Bulls, they were led, as I mentioned, by Nikola Vucevic in the starting lineup. He had 19 points in 30 minutes. He was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 block. They also got 15 points from Zach LaVine, but he was 6 of 13 from the field in 31 minutes. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and he was negative 22 in the plus-minus. The team low in that regard was DeMar DeRozan. He was negative 23 in his 32 minutes. He was not super inefficient, 4 of 9 from the field. He had 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, but he also had 3 turnovers. And then 9 points for Alex Caruso in 26 minutes. He was 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, so it was actually decent shooting from 3 from Vooch, Caruso, and LaVine. Those 3 went a combined 8 of 18 from beyond the arc, but it was obviously not nearly enough to overcome the incredible offense from the Bucks. Caruso just had 2 rebounds and 1 assist as well. And then Patrick Williams, rounding out the starting lineup, he was brutal in this game. 0 of 9 from the field. He just had 1 point from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block. And off the bench for the Bulls, they got 10 points from Tony Bradley in garbage time. He was 5 of 5 from the field at the end of this game. And then they also got 6 points from Kobe White, but he was just 2 of 9 from the field. 4 points from Ayo Dosunmu. He missed all 3 of his 3-point attempts. And then Tristan Thompson, Derrick Jones Jr., and Troy Brown Jr. all had 2 points. And Javonte Green did not score in his 8 minutes. All right, and finally, we can move on to New Orleans, where the Pelicans were just edged by the Phoenix Suns, 114-111, the 1-8 matchup in the Western Conference, and the Suns now regain control, taking a 2-1 series lead, and they were led in this game by Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton. With no Devin Booker, those two really stepped up. Paul ended up with 28 points and 14 assists. He was 10 of 18 from the field. He was completely dominant in the fourth quarter. He had 19 points in the fourth, and then DeAndre Ayton was really dominant as well. 28 points for him too, and he had 17 rebounds, 3 steals. He was 13 of 20 from the field. So incredible stuff from those two, Ayton and Paul, really stepping up in place of Devin Booker. They had Cameron Johnson inserted into the starting lineup. He only ended up scoring 8 points. As for the Pelicans, they were led by Brandon Ingram. He was pretty solid as well, 34 points. He was 11 of 19 from the field, and then they got 30 from CJ McCollum, and then 12 points for the rookie Herb Jones. So the star players on both teams, Paul and Ayton for the Suns, Ingram and McCollum for the Pelicans, really dominating. Those four averaged 30 points in this game. Ingram was obviously the leader with 34, but all of them were incredible. And ultimately, it was just Chris Paul's elite scoring in the fourth quarter that helped the Suns edge the Pelicans in the end. But it was a really exciting game throughout. It was actually the Suns who had a lead at the end of the first half. They had outscored the Pelicans 31-19 in the second quarter. They were really dominant. They went on a little scoring run at the end of the second and ended up 11. It was 59-48 at the half. But then the Pelicans came storming back in the third quarter. I don't know what Willie Green said at halftime, but it worked because they outscored the Suns 31-22 in the third. Just like that, about midway through the third quarter, it was back to being like a one-point game. And then it was just back and forth throughout the rest of this game until the very end of the fourth quarter when the Suns just pulled away. The offense just stagnated kind of down the stretch for the Pelicans. About 5 minutes to go in this game, Chris Paul just took over and he just could not be stopped. He was scoring from the mid-range just at will. It seemed like he would just dribble around, find a little bit of open space, and then anything he put up would go in. He was 7 of 10 from the field in the fourth quarter, 0 of 2 from 3, so he wasn't really doing it from beyond the arc. He was 5 of 6 from the free throw line, so it was really just that mid-range scoring that was just unstoppable for CP3. And so because of that, they were able to build up a small lead at the end of the fourth quarter. It was about a 5-point advantage for the Suns. So it looked like they were just going to cruise to victory in the final few possessions of this game. But then that was not the case at all. The final 2 minutes of game time were really slowed down and mucked up. The Pelicans were just fouling the Suns like crazy. They were just trying to create an opening, get back in this game. And to be fair, they were scoring pretty effectively, but the Suns were too. They were knocking down their free throws. They were keeping pace with the Pelicans. And so really clutch performance down the stretch by the Suns to hold on and fend off this comeback, this late comeback attempt by the Pelicans. So just to run through the final few possessions of this one. So with 2:08 left on the clock, Jay Crowder knocks down a 19-footer that gives the Suns a 7-point lead. It was 102-95 at that point. So it looked like the Suns, like I said, were just going to cruise to victory. But then CJ McCollum comes right back. He hits a 2-pointer, cuts the deficit to 5. Then Chris Paul responds again with another mid-ranger with 1:32 left on the clock. That one was off of a Jay Crowder assist. And so just like that, the Suns are back up by 7, 104-97. And then there was a lull for a few possessions. Eventually, Mikal Bridges goes to the free throw line with 49 seconds left. He knocks them both down, extending the Suns' lead to 9. It was 106-97. And that started a run of free throw shooting where both teams combined went 13 of 13 from the free throw line within the span of like 20 seconds of game time. It was incredible. So next up, it was Brandon Ingram. A couple of seconds later, he actually knocked down a 3-pointer that cut the deficit to 6. So then the Suns get the ball back. The Pelicans foul Chris Paul, send him to the line. Unsurprisingly, he knocks them both down. Then the Suns actually foul Brandon Ingram on a 3-point attempt with 30 seconds left in the game. That was a really boneheaded move by Torrey Craig to foul Brandon Ingram. He goes to the line. He knocks down all three clutch free throws from Brandon Ingram. So that cuts the deficit to 5. It was 108-103 at that point. Then the Suns get the ball back, and of course, they foul again. The Suns did a good job of making sure that it was Chris Paul who had the ball, and so he goes to the free throw line again. He once again knocks down both free throws, so once again, the Suns' lead extended back up to 7, but then another clutch play from Brandon Ingram with 22 seconds on the clock, so they're just doing a really good job of clock management, not losing very much time. He knocks down another 3-pointer for the Pelicans, so they are just not giving up, not allowing the Suns to run away with this game. That 3-pointer off of a CJ McCollum assist cuts that lead once again to 4. This time it's 110-106 after that shot from Brandon Ingram. So the Pelicans really making this interesting down the stretch. So they foul once again, send this time Mikal Bridges to the free throw line. And again, two consecutive free throws made. Mikal Bridges knocks them both down. So then the Pelicans once again respond, not a 3-pointer though this time. It was CJ McCollum with a layup. So the lead for the Suns now back down to 4. It's 112-108 at this point with 14 seconds to go. Then they foul again, send Mikal Bridges again to the free throw line for the second time in like two possessions. And once again, he knocks both of them down. So in that stretch, Mikal Bridges and Chris Paul went to the line for 10 free throws, and between the two of them, they knocked all 10 of them down. Incredible stuff for the Phoenix Suns at the charity stripe in this final few minutes of this game. And so they were really able to fend off the comeback from the Pelicans thanks to those free throws. Then Brandon Ingram gets another shot at a 3-pointer with 6 seconds left. They're really running out of time at this point, but he missed the shot anyways. The Suns get the rebound. They actually send Cameron Johnson to the free throw line, but he finally misses. He misses two free throws, but it didn't really matter in the end. CJ McCollum did hit a three-pointer in the last possession of the game, but it ultimately didn't matter because the Suns had been able to hold on to that lead throughout that final stretch of this game. So really incredible shot making from Chris Paul throughout the fourth quarter, and then incredible free throws from Bridges and Paul throughout that final couple of possessions to help the Suns hold on and get this win in New Orleans. And Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton's individual stat lines were kind of indicative of the team overall. The Suns absolutely did not win this game with three-point shooting. They were just 15% from beyond the arc, whereas the Pelicans, 34%. The Suns ended up just going 4 of 26 from 3, whereas the Pelicans were 11 of 32. So the Pels definitely had the advantage in that regard, but the field goal percentage overall was in favor of the Suns. The free throw shooting was in the Suns' favor as well. And then the ball handling was definitely a key factor for the Phoenix. They only had 6 turnovers thanks to Chris Paul's expert ball handling. He had 0 turnovers in this game, truly living up to his status as the point god, whereas the Pelicans had 15 turnovers. It was 4 for Jonas Valanciunas, who did not have a very good game, 2 for CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram, and in the end, that really killed them. You just cannot give a team like the Suns that many opportunities. They will make you pay in the end, even without the three-point shooting. So all in all, it was a good showing for the Pelicans. They've been so much more competitive in this series than anyone would have expected at the end of the regular season, but then they won those 2 play-in games, and then they've been really putting up an excellent fight against the Suns, especially now without Devin Booker. This series is looking a lot closer than it otherwise would have been, but nonetheless, the Suns get the victory, restoring equilibrium in terms of the home court advantage. They are now up 2-1, and just like in those 2 other series that we've already talked about, Game 4 will be on Sunday, and I will be fascinated to see whether or not the Pelicans can keep up this incredible offense and potentially give the Suns a run for their money in that one. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Suns were led, as I mentioned, by Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton, who were both incredible. So they both had 28 points. They both had big double-doubles. Paul, he was 10 of 18 from the field, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, but just 1 of 6 from 3. He had 28 points, 14 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, and 0 turnovers. And like I said, he had 19 points in the fourth quarter alone. And then 28 points and 17 rebounds from DeAndre Ayton. He was 13 of 20 from the field. He had 1 assist, 3 steals, 1 block, and just 1 turnover. He was plus 18 in the plus minus. That was the team high. So incredible stuff from those two, Ayton and Paul. And then they also got 17 points from Mikal Bridges. In 40 minutes, he was 4 of 9 from the field, 9 of 9 from the free throw line. And he had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. They got 10 points from Jay Crowder. He was 0 of 5 from 3, but 4 of 10 from the field overall. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And then 8 points for Cameron Johnson, rounding out the starting lineup in place of Devin Booker. In 27 minutes, he was 3 of 7 from the field, and he had 1 rebound. And off the bench for the Suns, they got 15 points from the backup big man, JaVale McGee. The bigs just really dominating the Pelicans in this game for the Suns. He was 7 of 8 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds. And then they also got 5 points from Landry Shamet in 30 minutes. He was 0 of 5 from the field. 3 points for Cameron Payne, the backup point guard. He was 1 of 5 from the field in 13 minutes. And that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Suns. Bismack Biyombo and Torrey Craig saw the court briefly, but neither of them scored. And as for the Pelicans, they were led, as I mentioned, by Brandon Ingram. He was pretty incredible in this game. 34 points in 37 minutes. He was 11 of 19 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and 9 of 10 from the free throw line. So when he's scoring like this, he is pretty unstoppable. He can get it done from anywhere on the court. And he had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block as well. And then they also got 30 points from CJ McCollum. He was pretty incredible as well. 11 of 23 from the field, 4 of 11 from 3. And he had 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Now, he was 4 of 8 from the free throw line, but nonetheless, really incredible scoring otherwise from those two, Ingram and McCollum. And then they got 12 points from the rookie Herb Jones. He was 5 of 7 from the field in 40 minutes. He had 3 rebounds. Just 6 points for Jonas Valanciunas. He was the big letdown for the Pelicans. He was 1 of 5 from the field in 26 minutes, and he was really getting roasted by those bigs for the Suns. He did have 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, but also 4 turnovers. And then Jackson Hayes rounding out the starting lineup. He actually got ejected from this game. After just 10 minutes, he bulldozed Jay Crowder and got a flagrant 2 and got tossed, and he had 4 points and 6 rebounds in that time. And off the bench for the Pelicans, they got 12 points from Devontae Graham, the backup point guard. He was 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and he had 5 rebounds. They got 9 points from the rookie Jose Alvarado. He was 4 of 6 from the field in 17 minutes. And then 2 points for Najee Marshall and 2 points for Larry Nance. Nance got extended playing time because of Hayes' absence, but he was not very good. 1 of 8 from the field in 23 minutes. He did have 2 blocks and 4 rebounds, but then he eventually fouled out after 23 minutes. And then Trey Murphy III, the other rookie, saw the court for 23 minutes, but he did not score. He was 0 of 3 from the field in that time. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to our preview for today, Saturday, April the 23rd. And we've got 4 games on in the NBA today. So starting off in Toronto, the Raptors are taking on the Philadelphia 76ers in the 4-5 matchup of the Eastern Conference. That series is 3-0 in favor of the 76ers, and they are -3 in that game. In the 4-5 matchup in the Western Conference, in Utah, the Jazz are taking on the Dallas Mavericks. They are, of course, trailing 1-2, but they are still pretty big favorites. They are -5.5. In the 2-7 matchup in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics taking on the Brooklyn Nets in Game 3. Boston leads that series 2-0, but they are actually underdogs in this matchup. The Nets are -3. And finally, in Minnesota, the 2-7 matchup in the Western Conference, this will be Game 4. The Grizzlies lead 2-1, and they are favored. They are -3. Okay, so once again, we've got some pretty close games projected by Vegas. Just one line over 3 points, and it's actually the Mavericks +5.5. That one seems a bit peculiar to me because they looked pretty dominant in that Game 3 in Utah, and I don't really see any reason why the Jazz should be 5.5 point favorites. So I think that's going to be one of our best bets. The question is whether or not we're going to do any of those other games for our best bets. So first of all, in Toronto, the Raptors +3, that one seems intriguing to me because I would be surprised if the Raptors didn't put up a fight to try and avoid being swept. But at the same time, there's just a talent disadvantage in that matchup with Joel Embiid dominating like he has been thus far. Now, one piece of information that is interesting is that he's got that potential torn ligament in his thumb, and he's apparently going to try and play through it, play through the pain. But that could potentially hamper his effectiveness and the 76ers' chances. But ultimately, if I had to guess, I would assume that the 76ers will, in fact, complete the sweep and win this game. So I'm ultimately going to stay away because I could definitely see it going either way, but I would probably lean towards the 76ers -3. In the Nets-Celtics matchup, I was really tempted by this one as well. This was probably the closest other one to being a best bet because I don't really see why the Celtics aren't favored once again in Brooklyn. There's not really that much of a home court advantage for the Nets, and it wasn't much of a travel from Boston to Brooklyn. So frankly, I don't see why the Celtics should be +3 after winning those 2 gritty games in Boston. You could say that they were lucky to avoid dominating performances from Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in either of the first 2 games. Obviously, Irving was incredible in Game 1, but then he wilted in Game 2, and then Durant kind of struggled in both games. But with that being said, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were also a little bit disappointing in those 2 games as well. So I think both of those teams were kind of in the same boat in that regard. So it might be just another really close game, a really exciting game. Hopefully it is. And so ultimately, I was really tempted by the Celtics +3 just because I don't really see why they should be 3-point underdogs, but I could definitely see the Nets winning this one and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving going off in front of their home crowd. So I'm going to stay away from this one, but I was definitely tempted by the Celtics +3. And then for the last game, if I had to pick, I would definitely lean towards the Memphis Grizzlies -3. They have looked really dominant for 2 games in a row now. The Timberwolves, after completely dominating in Game 1, have just fallen apart. And so, given their talent, they could absolutely go toe-to-toe with the Grizzlies in any particular game in this series, but they're just so up and down, so shaky, so inconsistent, that I think the Grizzlies are just a safer bet at -3. But I could definitely see the Timberwolves also tying this series up at 2 games apiece. So it's going to be a stay away from me. And so we've just got the one best bet. It's going to be the Dallas Mavericks +5.5 in Utah. I'm a little bit worried that the Jazz are going to finally establish dominance in this series like they should have been throughout the first 3 games, frankly. I mean, at this point, with no Luka Doncic, they are a much more talented team than the Mavericks. But the passion and the fight is just completely one-sided. The Mavericks look like they actually want to win these games, whereas the Jazz look totally checked out. like they totally have given up. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Quinn Snyder, that trio is obviously getting broken up in the offseason. Everybody's been talking about it, and I'm sure they've heard that talk as well, and I'm sure they've felt it for like a year now. So I think that series is all but won for the Mavericks, and if they do actually pull this series out, they're obviously going to get demolished in round two. So I just don't really have that much faith in the Utah Jazz right now, and that line is pretty healthy for the Mavericks, +5.5. So all they've got to do is keep it close. They don't even have to win in the end. So I'm going to ride with the hot team, the Dallas Mavericks, too, at the very least. Keep it close. Dallas +5.5 in Utah. All right, and that will do it for us today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all four of those games and to preview the action for Sunday, April the 24th. So until then, thanks for tuning in.